No, I'm kind of glad you didn't try shooting. I don't think that our church insurance would cover archer deacons. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So here we are, the end of the church year. We close out our journey through the season of Pentecost, the time of the church, and begin the process of preparing our hearts and our minds for our celebration of Christ coming at Christmas time, which is, scary enough, less than a month from today. Next week is the first Sunday in Advent. The building will be all decked out for the season, trees, lights, swags, and all of that. Before then, the new outdoor nativity set will go out in the shed, which was constructed and put in on Monday. And we will also have had the Christmas parade this Friday. Our attention now is fully starting to turn towards the first coming of Christ, as the little baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger. But before we can hear again the glorias of Christmas, we must first pause on this last Sunday of the church year and look once more at the second coming of Christ, which is the subject of our readings over the past few Sundays. And especially today, as we consider our gospel reading for today, we need to bring some clarity to a reading that has the potential to pose a serious challenge to us in the way that we view the Christian life. Now, in our gospel reading, we see that the end of the age has come. The Son of Man takes his seat on the throne. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Now, before we go too far, there are some myths or misunderstandings regarding the second coming and the judgment of Christ, which we need to dispel. Now, first off, there's the term that's used a lot is the rapture, which we look through scripture and there is no scriptural basis for a rapture where the faithful are taken away and the sinners are left behind. That actually comes from a misunderstanding of Matthew when Jesus says that it will be like the days of Noah, when two women are in a field, one is taken away, the other is left. Who are the ones that are taken away in the days of Noah? The ones who are swept away in the flood. So those who are left behind, or those who remain, are the faithful. And so you do not need to fear being left behind in a rapture where cars are left without drivers. Although that seems to be coming anyways. There also will not be several judgments or anything like that. There's one judgment of the living and the dead, and all people are only judged once when they die. And then the third, when the last day comes, there will be no mistaking it for anything else. As we talked about the trumpets of judgment last week, that there will be no mistaking the coming of Christ for anything else. You're not going to fall asleep and miss the announcement. But so, we see here the Son of Man coming in glory at the end of the age on the last day, taking his seat to judge all people living and dead. All nations are present for this judgment. All nations, all peoples are under God's purview. No one has the has the excuse of ignorance. No one can claim that they didn't know God or know God's law. All people have God's law written on their hearts. No one has diplomatic immunity from Christ, from God's judgment. And so the Son of Man takes his seat on the throne, separates people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep and goats. Well, how hard is it to tell the difference between sheep and goats? Is there a way to get miscategorized? I swear I'm a sheep, I just happen to look a little like a goat. No. Sheep have curly horns, they have wool. Goats have straight horns and no wool. And they have demon eyes, but that's beside the point. So there will be no mistakes. You cannot mistake sheep for goats and vice versa in God's judgment. Everyone will be in their proper place. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. The right is always the place of honor throughout Scripture. I'll try not to be offended. The son of the right hand is the favored one. The seat to the right is the honored one. The honor goes to those on the right who are blessed by God. And so on the last day, Jesus sits down to judge, separating those who are blessed from those who are cursed. But then we look at his criteria for this judgment. In verses 34 through 36, he describes his blessing on all of the sheep. And it kind of sounds like he's judging them based on what they have done. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, caring for the poor and weak, visiting those who are sick and in prison, all of that sounds like it's what the sheep have done. And then he turns to the goats in verses 41 to 43, and it also sounds like it's based on what they have done. He will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." So they refused to care for those in need, the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, the sick and lonely and imprisoned. And how terrifying that can sound for us as this focus on what they've done. After all, we're Lutherans. We're saved by God's grace, not by our works. Right? And yet here Jesus is commending the sheep and calling out their specific actions. They are receiving paradise for the good things that they have done for him. And then the goats are being condemned for the good things that they failed to do. So what are we missing here? Where does faith come into this picture? I think the key comes from the two groups' respective answers to the king's statement. Verses 37 to 39, the righteous, the sheep, answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" They don't know what they could have done to deserve this blessing. In other words, they weren't doing it intentionally. And then turning it around on the goats in verse 44, they also answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not minister to you? They don't know what they have done or failed to do to deserve their fate. In neither case is either group actually trying to behave in a way that will earn what they have received. The sheep weren't trying to do anything special. The goats weren't trying to neglect anything, weren't trying to fail to live up to God's standard. They were simply being themselves. The sheep were simply being sheep, the goats simply being goats, doing whatever was put on them to do. A leopard doesn't change its spots. They were already sheep or goats even before all of this sorting or judging, before any of this had happened. They had already been what they were supposed to be. So their salvation is not based on what the sheep did. The goats aren't condemned for what they failed to do. They already are. Their actions or inaction, it's not the cause, it's merely a symptom of who they already are. Sheep are going to be sheep regardless of the circumstances around them. Goats are going to be goats regardless of the circumstances. It is simply a result of or a symptom of who they already are that Jesus is calling out here. Or as James says in James chapter 2, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Not that works save, but works show evidence of faith. Faith comes out in what the sheep do. Faith does not come out in what the goats fail to do. It's the works show what is already there. Now, of course, our overview of the last day would not be complete without looking at the respective blessings and punishments which Jesus decrees for the sheep and the goats. In verse 34, we see that the king welcomes those who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What an incredible blessing that is. It was already prepared for you before you had ever been born, before you had ever done anything. Paradise set up for the sheep, for the righteous, for you, even before you were created. Even before the world had been formed, you had already received. Paradise was already planned for you. Can you imagine the amount of care that God has put into all of these preparations just for you? And he knew who you were going to be, what he was going to give to you even before you were born. You were going to be there. So then in verse 41, we see the other side of this. He will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't know whether any of us can even begin to conceive of the terror and horror of that sentence. The eternal fire, eternal death, eternal absence from God. That there is only one place where God is not in hell. In the story of Lazarus and the rich man, it's even worse. The rich man ends up in hell, looking up to see everything that he missed out on in heaven being able to see God, being able to see Abraham, but no one in paradise can see what is happening there. And yet, there is a glimmer of something in here. Hell wasn't actually prepared as a punishment for sinners. Hell wasn't prepared for the goats in the same way that heaven, paradise, was prepared for the sheep. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, those who had rebelled against God in the beginning, leading Adam and Eve into sin, leading to sin entering into the world. Hell was prepared for them. That sinners end up there is simply a byproduct of humans having joined in the devil's rebellion. So in a way, that does offer us some measure of comfort. God's desire is not for any of us, for anyone that he has created, to be punished. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says that God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The goal is salvation, so then why are the sheep receiving this blessing? Why are the goats receiving this punishment? If God's desire is blessing, is his desire is salvation? Is it because of what the sheep have done or the goats have failed to do? Or is it something else? Well, the sheep and the goats had already been separated before God declared his judgment. They were already separated based on who and what they were before God declared the punishment or the blessing. The declaration calls out their actions, but that is only the visible indicator of who and what they are. They were already sheep, already goats, before they had ever been born or done anything to merit God's favor or displeasure. The sheep were known and blessed by God simply because they were sheep. So then, taking and applying this to ourselves, what makes us God's people is that we are his chosen and beloved children. That's something that happens for us because of our baptism. God chose you. It's not something that you do for God, not a choice that you make. It is a choice that God makes of you. You aren't blessed because of what you do. You do the things that are pleasing to God because you are already his, already have received his blessing. Now, turning this around on the goats doesn't quite work as well. The goats, those whom God punished, aren't so because of God's rejection of them, but because of their rejection of God. God's desire was always for their salvation, but they made their bed, and thus they sleep in it. So then, where does this leave us on this last Sunday in the church year? Well, we end the church year as we start the church year, looking forward for the coming of our Messiah, the one who comes to redeem us from our sins, from all the times that we have failed to live up to our calling as his sheep, who comes to gather us together into his flock, making us his own, leading us, feeding and caring for us, who receives and blesses us not simply because we do the things that are pleasing to him, but because we are his through faith, and who has a kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. On the last day, he will come to us as a king sitting in judgment. But it is the judgment that he has already pronounced and meted out when he took himself, which he took himself when he came the first time, meekly and humbly, to bear with our weakness and give us his strength. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.